Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now we're going to be talking to, as in keeping with our theme today, a professor of human metabolism. His book is called A Calorie is a Calorie, the inescapable science that controls our body weight. Welcome to the show, Keith Frayne.
Thank you very much, Selena. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, Keith. And it's interesting because we've been chatting to people over the last few days. We've been chatting to hypnotherapists, to weight loss gurus, to nutritionists. And I want to hear from you the science behind it. Why is it some people can lose weight easily and some people can't?
Yes, I'm glad you asked me that, Selena. I thought you might. There are many aspects to that. One, of course, is in our genes. And it's very clear that the ability to control one's weight is to a fairly large extent genetically determined. But you shouldn't understand that to mean that some people can just burn off excess calories, which is how many people think of it. Actually, when scientists look at what's involved in why some people put on weight more easily than others, it's almost entirely down to how much they eat. And that, of course, can be genetically determined.
So, you see, this is what I don't get. We have people saying that, eat less calories and that will help. Some people are saying that it's a lot to do with how your digestive system works. But you're saying, or depending what your parents are like and the amount of food you eat, that's how you're going to be?
Well, it doesn't have to be like that at all, but there is a strong genetic influence. And what I am saying, and I've talked about it quite a lot in the book, is that the idea we all have, I mean, scientists have it too, that some people can just burn off excess calories. Really, when you bring people into the laboratory and you try and pin down what's going on, it's very, very difficult to show that. But all the measurements that have been made of how much energy people expend says that really, the issue with gaining weight is to do with eating too many calories. It's what our parents would have told us, but that message has tended to get lost.
So when we think about genetics, Keith, is it to do with the speed of our metabolism then?
No, thank you, Selena. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's not that. All that we know about the genetics is that these are genes that affect our attraction to food, or perhaps our ability to really sense what we are eating. And it's really not the speed of metabolism. There is almost no evidence for genes affecting the speed of metabolism and therefore our body weight, despite what everybody thinks, as I say, including scientists like myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think the trouble is the internet has brought up so much, hasn't it? There are so many different ways people are trying to lose weight. There are diets, there are exercise, there's all these different things. And as I say, we've been covering them for the last few days. So presumably exercise would help.
Oh, yes, Selena, absolutely. But I think exercise can get a bad name. People say, oh, you've got to exercise for 30 minutes to burn off one cookie or something like that, which I think is quite illogical, because on the other hand, one cookie isn't going to make you fat. So I think if you want to use exercise as a way of burning off extra calories, which is wonderful, it's got to be fairly consistent. You've got to become a regular exerciser, but I think it goes beyond that. So I've reviewed all the literature. There's a vast amount of literature, particularly from North America, on people who have been overweight but have managed to lose that weight and then have kept it off. And one thing that they all do, it's universal, is they exercise more than they used to. And I think it's more than just the calories that's burning off. I think in some way it's perhaps helping us to reset our relationship with food, just helping to change a mindset, really. So I think exercise in all the literature on successful weight loss turns out to be much more effective than you might think just from the calories.
Yeah, I think you're right. My previous guest today was talking about hypnosculpture, hypnotism to help weight loss, which has certainly worked. I've seen it work for people. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's about a mindset. We all have a relationship with food. Some people good, some people bad, some people, you know, comfort eat, some people starve themselves when they're stressed. And it is how we think about food, isn't it? It seems to be so important to human beings.
Well, it is. We couldn't survive without it. Actually, I was listening to you talking to Sandy Ashing, and I thought that was very interesting because she was so honest about the things that led her to gain weight when she did. And, you know, there's different ways of losing weight, but in the end, you've got to restrict the calories you take in. I mean, Sandy chooses to do that through hypnotherapy, but many people would choose to do it by diet. But of course, what I'm saying is there are no magic tricks. Mm-hmm. But there's quite a lot of scientific evidence about what people who have, as I say, managed to lose weight, what they do in the way of physical activity and what sort of things they eat.
Yeah, and I know that you're a scientist, and it makes sense. You've done a lot of research. The genes make a lot of sense. But do you think it could also be nurture as well as nature? Because if you've got quite large parents and they're used to eating a lot, then they're going to feed the child a lot, and then it's going to continue, isn't it?
Yes, of course, Selena. And that's what we all think. And that was the starting point, really, for some of the work that was done on genetics. And I'm going back probably 30 years now. The crucial studies that were done on genetics were done in Scandinavia, where there are very good registers of what happens to people after they've been born. And there were some very convincing studies of twins who were born but then adopted into different families. And the fascinating thing was that, contrary to what we all thought, their adult body weight was much more similar to their biological parents than their adoptive parents.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure what you say about the family environment must be true, but actually the genes, it certainly can outweigh that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if any of our listeners are listening and thinks, well, this is all great, the science is great, but I want to lose weight,
yes,
would you just say exercise and reduce calories?
Well, no, I would say that. I would say that. But I think there are ways of doing it. And I really enjoyed listening to Jess Hawkins because she has an emphasis on reducing fat in her recipes, which sound great to me. And I'm looking forward to reading that book. So when we look at, as I say, at what people who do manage to keep off the weight, what they're doing, a major feature is reducing the amount of fat in the diet. If you want to lose weight rapidly, then I've reviewed the evidence. It's in the book. And it does seem that for many people, restricting carbohydrates is a good way of doing that if you want to lose weight rapidly. But you can't stay on that diet. I mean, there are many studies showing that a low carbohydrate diet is not a healthy diet in the long term. So then you've got to change the way you eat. And actually, Sandy said that very clearly. You've got to change your relationship with food. And I think if I were to distill it into a few messages of what comes out from many, many studies, what helps people to regulate their weight is a diet that's high in fruit and vegetables. And what that means, high in fiber, because that's filling and probably good for us. Definitely good for us in other ways. High in fruit and vegetables, low in fat, low in added sugar. So you've really got to cut right down on the fizzy drinks and ice creams and so on. Doesn't mean, but I mean, my attitude of a calorie is a calorie says that, you know, nothing is ruled out. There's nothing to stop you having a bowl of ice cream or the occasional fizzy drink. But you've got to remember that they can't be regular things. So we all have to, you know, we need to change our way of eating so that some things become treats and other things, fruit and vegetables in particular, become more the bulk of our diet.
Yeah, that's true actually about the relationship with food, isn't it? Because in our minds, if you do restrict yourself and you say, right, no chocolate, no puddings, no nothing, you are going to crave them because that's how the mind works.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And so I think a much better attitude is to say, well, that's going to become an occasional treat and I can look forward to that.
Yeah, I agree. Just one more question on the gene side of it, Keith. So one of the fundamental questions that's been coming up over the last few days while we've been covering weight loss is that there are some people that are stick thin but eat loads, and then other people that are trying desperately to lose weight and are still big. Does that mean... Yeah. We look at their parents and the stick-thin person has probably got stick-thin parents and vice versa.
Well, maybe, but the whole basis of what you've just asked me, Selena, is how many of us think of it. We think there are people who are stick-thin who can eat all they want. And I've got a whole chapter on this. There are many studies where those people have been identified, groups of people who can eat what they want and not put on weight, and groups of people who really struggle. You bring them into a laboratory and you compare them and you just cannot find the difference. And and the truth is, it's a big message in the book, we are very, very bad, all of us, scientists included, at judging what people are eating. And it's almost impossible to measure. I've got a load about that in the book. We think we're measuring what people are eating by asking them to write things down, and we don't get the right answers. And that's just the science behind that is so solid now, we just cannot rely on those records. And we make what I call snapshot judgments. You know, I look at my friend and I think, oh, he doesn't eat much and he's struggling with his weight. But actually, you know, just meeting somebody and having a meal with them doesn't tell you what they're eating every day and what exercise they're doing either.
Yeah. And we mustn't always think of it as in losing weight is good. I mean, I've got a friend who is extremely slim, but she is desperate to put weight on. She'd love to be able to put weight on, and she can eat and eat and eat and nothing happens.
Well, there are certainly people like that. But in general, I mean, I can't say anything about your friend. I mean, we can identify, and I've got a chapter on these as well, people who really do eat and struggle to keep their weight up. But really, when you look at it, these are people who are elite athletes, or they're polar explorers, or they're mountaineers. And they're the people, well, Tour de France cyclists, there's a lot known about their nutrition. And they're the people that really struggle to eat enough to keep their weight up.
Now, I think she's the sort of person that we used to say lives off your nerves. You know, she's very... And I wonder if that's doing it. Is it true that that speeds your metabolism up, or is that a myth?
Well, no, it's not necessarily a myth. So there is a phenomenon which some people just call fidgeting. It's got a technical name, which is neat, non-exercise, activity-related thermogenesis. And it may be that something like that is really just doing small movements all the time and therefore burning off the calories.
Interesting. It really is interesting stuff. It's great to hear more of the science behind it. Well, the book's not quite out yet. We've got the 9th of January here, but it is called A Calorie is a Calorie, The Inescapable Science That Controls Our Body Weight. And it's by Professor of Human Metabolism, Keith Frain, who's with us now. Keith, thank you. You explained everything very, very eloquently. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Thank you, Selena.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.